Hello, welcome to another episode of E-Chamber Podcast, and I'm back with another sermon. This is part two of Mind Wars, but the subtopic is dealing with doubts. Are you struggling with doubts today? This is a message that goes a little bit deeper into Mind Wars, specifically the war of doubt that we experience, and hopefully this will be a message that blesses you. And of course, share with somebody else if you think they would benefit from it as well. Take care. The scripture reading was taken from Mark chapter 9, verse 14 to 27, but I'm going to add one more passage, and that is James chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. It's James chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. I'm going to be reading this in the ESV. It says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith without doubting." Somebody say doubting. "For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind." My subject today is just dealing with doubt. Dear Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you that you are God and God alone. No one but you. Lord, you know every thought that we not only have had, but will have. You know the wars that are going inside every individual mind. Even as I speak right now, you know the challenges that they face. You know the doubts, you know the fears, you know the concerns. Father, I pray even beyond my words, you start to minister to every heart right now. Beyond what I could say or remember what you're telling me today, I pray you speak to that individual's heart. I pray you give them peace that goes beyond understanding, where the situation may not change, but they have a level of peace. Where the situation may not be resolved, but they have a level of confidence. Why? Because you are with them, and that in you, you can give them the victory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, I'm going to start unconventionally with a picture, and I'm going to describe the picture. I don't know if they have it for me today. So I have a picture that I want to describe. I start with the Bible, but I want us to start with a picture. If I don't get the picture, I'll just describe it. May or may not. So here's the thing, spoiler alert, it's about my wife. It's a picture of my wife. And the funny thing about it is, it's kind of nice to be married to an extrovert, because then you can use her in sermons and she won't. She's not shy. If it was reversed, then I would not do it. Okay, here you go. Okay. Yes. So this, the context of this, we're at our home and this is Crystal. This is the experience of watching a sporting game with Crystal. Whether it's the Raptors specifically or the Blue Jays, this is the experience of watching a game with Crystal. So this is years ago, before they won, she is watching the game. And at this point, I looked up the game, they went into overtime. And so you know a basketball game, for those who don't know, when you get into overtime, you think, okay, the Raptors were not playing good this game specifically. And so the fact that we made it into overtime, there was a chance that they could win. So leading up to that point with Crystal, Crystal changes chairs. Crystal starts to talk about her heart. Her head is hurting her. Crystal can't eat. Crystal sometimes changes the channel while the game is on. I'm one that will watch to the end. You know, I'm a Lakers fan, so I will watch to the end. But sometimes Crystal will just turn the channel. Sometimes Crystal has turned the game off and just said she can't watch it because she says her stress level. So in this game, specifically, they went into overtime. And then they lost, and they had a poor effort. And Crystal started to get mad. Crystal, she's not cussing or anything. She's just mad. She's like, I can't stand being a Raptors fan. And she's talking about the stress. If you didn't understand anything, if you were an alien and you just popped in, you would think she's stressed about a child, she's stressed about a job, or something very important, but it was just a game. But how many know that it doesn't matter what the subject is, if you are emotionally invested, if you view the stakes being high, and there is a level of doubt, somebody say doubt, it can be a level of torment within your mind. That doubt could drive you to feel so stressed. Doubt can lead you to anxiety. Doubt can lead you to the place where you start to just feel it in your actual body. where you begin to doubt so much in your mind that you start to wonder if the outcome is going to, which way the outcome is going to go. And from going back and forth, you can become stressed. You can take the picture down. I think I embarrassed her long enough. And it's interesting in seeing that, and when I fought and when I brought up the text, because the Bible talks about the man that was doubting is like the wind on the sea, and where it tosses. So anywhere the wind pushes it, if the wind pushes to the east, that's where it would go. If it pushes it to the west, that's where it go. The sea is subjected to that. And in one of the definitions, I want to read it because I thought it was interesting. It said, in one definition, to doubt is to waver in opinion or judgment, to be in uncertainty of as respect to a belief about anything. That is to doubt. So when you, I like pictures when I'm thinking the sermon, pictures in my mind, and you think about a boat on the sea where it is being tossed to and fro. That's sometimes when you talk about mind wars, sometimes when it, when you're talking about a person dealing with doubt, that's what's going on internally. That they have a belief system or something, but they are wavering between those two beliefs. One day you may think it may be something good that's going to happen, but now you're thinking the bad may happen and you are doubting. Somebody say doubt. It's one thing to doubt and to be wavering about simple things, like you're wavering between two opinions of what you're going to eat or what you're going to watch on TV. It doesn't matter that much when you are doubting and you're wavering between things where there's no instant, there's no major consequence. But when the stakes are higher, when there is more emotional development or investment in a situation, when the outcome matters, when there is extreme situations on the line, doubt can become more difficult experience. Doubt can drive some people's high blood pressure up. Doubt can lead you to not sleep at night. Doubt can rob you of your peace. Not because what you're worrying about happened, but simply the doubt that it could happen or the doubt that something good may happen. In this text, the man had a boy that was possessed. And in this situation, the Bible says that it was happening since he was a child. There are some ways in which we have to guess and we have to, you know, assume things in this passage. So he, when he was talking to Jesus, he said it was happening for a long time. Could you imagine that this man, we don't know how long, but it was long enough. We know at that age, it was 13, you were still considered a child. So we know it could be at least 13 years. We don't know if this from birth, whatever the case is, but he says he has his son who is deaf or who is mute. And at times the spirit drives him where he basically has seizures. And at times the spirit has drove him to demon has tried to throw the child into fire, trying to kill him or drown. Could you imagine what this father is experiencing? Could you imagine day after day hoping for something different, but never seeing something different happening in the life? Maybe hoping that this will be the day that things will change, but it did not change. Maybe even building systems in his life to take care of his child who's tormented. Maybe he brought him to the synagogue and asked for these rulers at this time to heal him, but they could not do it. Maybe he brought him to the doctor. Whatever the case is, you could imagine what he was experiencing. And I think it's ironic, though the son was the one that was demonic possessed and was tormented. As a parent, and many of you who are connected to young children, if you imagine a young child going through this, you mentally, in your mind, could feel a level of torment. To see someone suffering and have nothing you can do to change the situation, day after day, month after month, year after year, that can be a level of torment. Because when you are doubting a situation, when the stakes are high, doubt can feel like internal torment. Oh yes, the boy was possessed and the boy was suffering, but don't make a mistake about it. The father was suffering too. I want to ask you today, what doubting is tormenting you today? What situation do you have within your mind that you're looking fine on the outside? People ask, how are you doing? And you say, I'm doing fine. I'm fine in the Lord. Thank you. But internally, there's a war going on and you feel tormented by your doubts. That you could be doubting so much that you feel it within your body. You could be doubting so much that you say, I just want this to change. It doesn't matter the situation. It matters if the stakes are high. It could be a marriage where you're doubting if you guys are going to make it through. Feels like torment. It could be a situation at the job where, you know, your family's depending on your income and you're wondering now because there's an issue at work if you're going to keep your job. That can feel like torment. Maybe it's a situation where you lost a loved one or you experienced heartbreak and you doubt if you will ever be whole again. Maybe it's a situation where you're hoping for a child, but the doctor is not giving you a good report. Maybe it's sickness in your body and you are starting to doubt if things will change, if you will get back to the place where you were before sick. Whatever the situation is, you could have been like this man where he is day after day living in this situation. But I'm so glad that even in this situation, in his situation, and in your situation, everything changes when Jesus gets on the case. Everything changed in this man's life when he heard about Jesus. Everything changed when he heard about what Jesus and his disciples were doing. How do I know this? Because I know he brought him to Jesus. But how did he bring him to Jesus? Because you understand the context of this passage. Jesus isn't famous everywhere. There were times where Jesus was performing miracles and told them to say nothing. So his fame, he was actually trying to keep it under wraps, but people started to speak and people started to say things, so much so that Jesus, without announcing where he was going to go, would show up to certain cities and there already would be people there with all type of issues wanting Jesus to help the situation. I don't know what it was, and I can't imagine how he might have felt exactly, but someone told him about Jesus. Someone looked at his situation and said, there's a man named Jesus. Someone told him maybe about the others that were blind and he healed. Maybe they told him about the others that were possessed and Jesus healed them. Maybe he told about the miracles of feeding the 5,000. Maybe he told him about the time when there was a funeral service and Jesus touched the casket and they were healed. Maybe he learned about Lazarus being raised from the dead. I don't know what the situation was exactly, but he heard about Jesus and that was enough for him to do something. Have you heard about Jesus? Ask your neighbor, have you heard what Jesus can do? I know I'm talking about the Bible, but have you heard in 2023 what Jesus can do in a situation? Have you heard about the marriages that Jesus has healed? Have you heard about the sickness that Jesus has healed? Have you heard about the situations that seemed dire and Jesus was able to solve it? Have you heard about the situations financially where the rent was past due and there was no way, but Jesus made a way when there was no way? Have you heard about the situations when there was a level of unforgiveness, a relationship was broken, but Jesus came in and healed the situation? Have you heard about the situation when a child was out of course and the child had left home, but the child was driven back to their parents and the family was reconciled? Have you heard about Jesus? Ask somebody, have you heard about Jesus? Let me be clear. When I ask you to say that the second time, I'm hoping you're speaking to that situation in your mind. I want you to say to that situation in your mind, have you heard about my Jesus? Yes, I know you've been doubting about that situation, but you need to tell that financial situation, have you heard about my Jesus? I know you may be sick in your body, but you need to tell that sickness, have you heard about my Jesus? I know that you and honey are not talking so well and the marriage is on the rock, but you need to tell that situation, have you heard about my Jesus? I know some of you cannot pinpoint the situation, but it feels like a demonic attack against your house, and you need to tell that demon, have you heard about my Jesus? One preacher put it like this. He said, don't tell God about your problems. Tell your problems about your God. Tell them about your Jesus. Have you heard about my Jesus? He heard about his Jesus. But let's be honest, when he heard the miracle, I don't know if he got up right away. Maybe he still is doubting a little bit and he's saying, you know, I don't know if Jesus can do it. But maybe somebody else told him, whatever the case is, because here's the issue with the doubt. You have this optimism rising, but the facts are still there. And I want to be clear. When it comes to your logic and your perception, allow your logic and your perception to describe your reality, but don't let it limit your reality. I'll say that again. Let it describe, I got this point from Pastor Mark, let it describe your reality, but don't let it limit your reality. What am I saying? The situation is what it is. Many times when someone brought someone to Jesus, Jesus didn't say, that's not happening. Jesus says, tell me what the situation is. And the person would say, I'm blind. This is the situation. This is what it is. And Jesus doesn't deny the facts. Jesus said, tell me about the facts. When it comes to doubt in your mind, sometimes the enemy is wrestling against your optimism because he's pointing out the facts. And you don't have to fight with him about that. The facts are real. Maybe your marriage is not good. That's the facts. But don't let that limit the reality. Maybe financially you're in a tough situation and money is not looking like it's coming anytime soon. That's the facts of the situation. Whatever the situation is, young people, you could be struggling in school. Those are the facts of the situation. But you can, it doesn't matter what the facts of the situation is. Don't let it limit your reality. That's why Jesus was able to allow people, tell me the facts. Tell me the situation. And people would say the situation, and Jesus would show no emotion. You know why? Because Jesus knows just because those are the facts, it doesn't mean that's the reality. And I am the God that has the power to change the situation. Jesus can overrule it. Somebody say overrule it. Jesus knows that just because that's the truth, I am the God of a greater truth. So you can tell me the facts of the situation, but I know I have the power to change the situation. You know a situation where you're in the courtroom, they can raise objections all they want, but the judge can say overruled. And the judge has power to overrule any situation. The judge has power to change any situation. I want to tell you today that sometimes life presents objectives in your life, disturbing your peace, disturbing any different things with in your life, but all you need to do is go to the God of the universe, go to the judge of the universe, thank you, and you need to bring it to him, and he can overrule it. It doesn't matter what the situation is, he can overrule that situation. It doesn't matter how bad your marriage is, God can overrule it. Somebody say overrule it. It doesn't matter how broke your situation is financially, and you don't know how it's going to change, God can overrule it. Somebody say overrule it. It doesn't matter how long you haven't talked to that individual and you guys have not reached a place of forgiveness. God can say overrule it. Somebody say overrule it. My Bible tells me that when Lazarus dies, Jesus showed up late and came on the situation and they presented the facts and they said, Lord, if you were here, my brother would not die. But even now you have the chance to change the situation. And they were talking about a future situation. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life right now. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He says, I don't care how dead your situation is right now. Yes, you're going to make it into the kingdom. Yes, things are good, but I've come to fix your situation right now. Jesus can overrule it. Somebody say overrule it. He came to the tomb and he said, roll the stone away. They laid out the facts that he smelled and he probably did. He laid out the facts that his situation is dire, but Jesus didn't. It didn't matter to Jesus because he knew he can overrule it. And Jesus prayed to the Father and said, Father, I know you hear me always, but for the sake of these people, I'm going to say the situation right now. Lazarus, come forth. And that dead situation rose because God has the power to overrule every situation, even death. When problems are hitting you and you cannot sleep at night, you just need to say, overrule. Imagine you're in a courtroom and you're just saying, I think I'm going to leave this message, but just think about Jesus and just go, overrule. Whatever that situation is in your mind, you serve a God that is greater than any human, greater than any challenge, and because he can defeat death, what is your financial situation to him? Because he can defeat death, what is that situation that you're struggling with that is the enemy has in your mind, doubting if things will be better? But I serve the God of the universe that can overrule any situation, even when demons possess this world and torment your mind. He can give you deliverance because he's a God of every situation. I want to jump up, but someone who needs to, you need to let that marinate in mind. Overruled. I don't know what the doctor said, but you just say overrule. I've heard testimonies of people where they said the doctor gave them a report, but sometimes they just walk and they're worried and challenged, but then all of a sudden they're comforted and say, no, I will not believe the enemy's report on my life. I'm going to say overruled, paraphrase, and I'm going to believe God for this situation to change. So we're imagining, we don't know the situation, but it reached to a level of optimism or desperation, whatever it is, where he said, I might as well bring him to Jesus. And then he brought this boy to Jesus. But Jesus was not there. His disciples were there. And so he brought the boy to the disciples and they tried to heal him, but it didn't change. What happens when you think you did the right thing and you thought, God, this is a place, good place for the testimony. This is a good place for the story to end. I trusted you and this is how the situation worked out and the situation still hasn't changed. Could you imagine the doubt that arises in this father's mind? That the son is there and now there's a crowd. Now everybody knows about your situation. If they didn't know now they know. Everybody knows about your situation. I don't know who I'm talking to you, but it was fine when it was private, but now everybody knows. And now the doubt is more intensified because you're thinking other people are looking at, why isn't your situation changing? People are looking at your situation and wondering, why is it different? What's wrong with you? And I don't know what the situation is for this man, but I could imagine the doubt was arising. But my Bible says Jesus was coming down from the mountain and coming to that situation. I can't prove it, but I believe Jesus knew what was going on and Jesus came to that situation. And you may be wondering, Jesus, you're late, but he's never late. He's coming at the right time because Jesus understands that no situation is past him changing. No situation is past him overruling. You may look at the date in the situation and say, God, if you were going to show up, you need to show up when you right now, but it doesn't matter because God is ultimately in control. He brought him, and I want to now look at this. Now I'm at the passage. I'm actually at the scripture. So I want us to put it up. And so Jesus comes, verse 21 of Mark 9, verse 21. He says, and he asked his father, Jesus asked the father, how long is it ago since this came onto him? And he said, of a child. He said, and oftentimes he cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He's like, anything is better than this. He's like, if you can do anything in this situation, I just need you to do something. I don't know if you've ever reached a point of desperation. Say, God, change it any way you want. Anything is better than this. And you're just hoping for a little bit different. And say, Lord, has compassion. He was just hoping for any level, but God was about to restore the whole situation. Some of you are just hoping a little bit, but you can get greedy in the spirit and say, Lord, I want you to restore it all. I'm believing you to restore it all. I don't just want to get a little bit better, get better. I want to be completely whole. I don't know what that situation is, but one situation I know for me and my wife, we are being specific with God. We are not being vague. We're saying, Lord, we want you to fix the situation. He may or may not, but we're going to be bold and give him the exact situation. There were people that came to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to see. I don't want to just have a sense of reality. I want to see. You need to be specific and bold and come to your Heavenly Father and make your request known unto God. He said, verse 23, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Jesus knows he's still wavering. And he's saying, if you can do anything, Lord, anything in this situation. And he says, all things are possible for those that believe. All things are possible for those that believe. I want to ask today, where are you on that statement right now? Everyone's hearing me say it right now, even those online. But when it comes to your situation, are you saying that? Do you believe that he can do it? Because that's where doubt is. Some of you believe he can do it, but some of you, there's a level of doubt. Some of you believe, but you're saying, Lord, there's a little bit of a doubt. And this is where this man was, because he said, he cried out, the Bible says, I love the language. He didn't just whisper, he cried out. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He said, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you right in front of these people. It didn't matter that there was a crowd. He's looking at his son. He said, Lord, I'm here, ain't I? I'm coming to you. I'm desperate. And I believe you can do something. But there's a level of unbelief inside of me too. Let's be clear. I want to be clear about the situation. I don't think it's necessarily unbelief. I think he's dealing with doubt. I think he's wavering between two different opinions. I think there's a part of him that believes God can change the situation, because if it was unbelief, he wouldn't have shown up at all. If it was unbelief, he just wouldn't do it at all. If you look throughout scripture, God actually at times rebuked people for unbelief because they're choosing not to believe. This man is choosing, but there's a wavering that's existing. You could be honest with God to say, I'm wavering in my faith, Lord. Lord, there's a part of me that truly believes you're a miracle working God. There's a part of me that believes you can change the situation, but there's a part of disbelief within inside of myself. And I'm so thankful that I have friends and people in my life that I can be bold and say I believe, but there's a part of me that's not really sure. There's a part of me that's not really sure in the situation. We have to allow people to be honest to say, I believe, but there's a level of unbelief. Help me in my level of unbelief. Come pray with me, brother. Come pray with me, sister. Let's fast on the situation. There's a level of doubt. I don't know, because God can be there for that level of unbelief. And what did the Bible said? Though there was a level of unbelief, he didn't say, well, go fast for 3 weeks and then come back to me. He didn't say, go away and read the Bible. He didn't say, no, you're not ready. The Bible says he healed the son just at the level of his unbelief. What am I saying? That even with your doubt, as long as you come to Jesus, as long as you bring the situation to him, he will honor your level of faith and he will make up the difference. Somebody say, make up the difference. He was able to make up the difference. And the Bible says that he fell down. The boy fell down. And they said it's almost as if he was dead. To so much so that many thought he was actually dead. But Jesus rose. Jesus went and took him by the hand. And he rose and he got up. And the boy was made whole. Somebody say amen. But you know, as I'm wrapping up, that's when I heard him raise and touch his hand, there was something that came to mind when I heard that. And all of a sudden I hear Peter is there, and I'm hearing that they were on the water, and the Bible says that the storm was raging and they were on that boat and they were there and they were scared. But Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter, who is not perfect, Peter, who is not filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter, who's still working on this stuff, has a level of faith and saying, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And he says, come. And Peter, at his stage right now, I want to be clear about that, because you are thinking you need to be at a high spiritual state, but it doesn't matter where you are. If you believe God for that miracle at that moment, you can do all things through him. And Peter started to walk on water, and then Peter continued to walk to him. But the Bible says, when he saw the waves, he began to sink, and he said, Lord, help me. And Jesus stretched out his hand and he picked him up, and he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? That used to bother me, if I'm honest. I said, Lord, this is how I think in my head when I think you're being a strict teacher here. He's walking on water, and that's fascinating to me because I cannot swim. So the idea to walk on water is amazing to me. This is not a miracle where he was trying to help someone. This was just him and God in that situation. But then, you know, I was looking at it this week, because if you think about it, if he was close enough to reach him, remember, there's two factors when I'm talking about unbelief. One, when God holds you when he's holding you accountable for belief, it's based off of what you should already know. Peter already was walking on the water. So Peter was already at a place of faith where he could have kept on going. But watch the difference. He came to him, and the Bible doesn't say that Jesus ran and got him when he stretched out. So he was close enough that Jesus could be there to pick him up, because Jesus can make up the difference. I don't know what the situation is for you right now. And you may be wondering, Macho, I'm not going to get to the level of faith to change my situation. I'm not going to get the level of faith to walk on the water. I'm not going to get to the level of faith where God could resurrect my situation. All you need to do is keep going towards Jesus. Keep getting closer to God. Keep focusing on him. Make him be the center, we sang earlier, of your life. Make him be the center of your situation. Make him be the center of your finances. Make him be the center of your education. Make him be the center of whatever the situation is. Because if you get close enough, you'll be surprised your level of faith. If you get close enough, you'll be surprised on how you're able to hear him. When you get close enough, you'll be surprised how the problems are not bothering you enough. You get close enough, you wonder, all of a sudden I can sleep well at night. You get close enough, and all of a sudden the other problems are not bothering you. If you get close enough to him, he will make up the difference. He's not asking you to come all the way. He just said, come close enough with me, child, and I will make up the difference. Keep coming towards me and believe in me in the situation, and Jesus will make up the difference. Somebody say amen. Jesus can make the difference in your doubting mind. Please stand with me. I'm done. I don't know what the situation is. Like I mentioned, we are in situations right now, me and my wife, where they're like, there is no way. That's the facts. If she's educated, I'm educated, we do our research, there is no way. So we literally just handing it to God and say, God, you're going to have to do it. But it doesn't mean that there ain't some doubts sometimes. There isn't some days that sometimes I bring it up, Crystal's like, I didn't even want to think about it today because now it's disturbing my peace. What is that situation for you today? That it's the facts is there is no way. When they sang earlier about the sea opening up, the children of Israel saw there is no way. We're going to die in this situation. They didn't know the story how we know it now that he made a way. There may be a situation to do that you're going to be the first. He's going to make a way in your situation, and your testimony is going to give faith to others where they say, I don't know, but I know he did it for them. He did it for her. He did it for him. And so whatever that situation is, as this altar call, we're here to pray for your doubts. Maybe your doubt has you feeling just absolutely tormented. You say, Macho, you don't know. Sometimes I cry myself to sleep, and the only reason I slept because I was tired. Nothing changed. The altar is open. Precious. Maybe you're someone here and you're not a believer today. And you wonder if you doubt if God can forgive you for all the things you have done and clean up your life and change your situation. The altar is here. Maybe you're doubting, I don't know, maybe it's a marriage that you're doubting and you're saying, we've tried everything and nothing can change. So much has happened. How can we heal from this? I serve a God that can change that situation. Maybe it could be a stronghold in your life where you've been struggling and you've been trying to get free and you've been trying to change the situation and you're too embarrassed to admit to anyone else. God can fix that situation.
Precious Lord,
you just need to come to him and ask God to take your hand.
Precious Lord, take my hand.
It starts with that first step.
Lead me on. Let me stand.
Someone's tired today.
I am weak.
Have no strength in your body. You to, whether you are at the altar or in the audience, if you so, I know where we were years ago, but I want you to take someone's hand. I want you to take someone's hand. Someone needs to feel a hand today. Someone needs to feel that they're not alone. As you take take that hand, we're praying that they're going to feel God's presence taking their hand, saying, child, I know what you're going through. Take that hand, squeeze that hand.
Take my hand, precious Lord, and be yours.
Dear Father, as we hear right now, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that even when it seems as though you are not watching, we know you're aware of all things. We know you're aware of the war that is going on inside of our minds. We know you're aware of every situation. We know you're aware that the facts sometimes don't look good. We know you're aware of the doctor's report. We know you're aware of the financial situation. We know you're aware of the level of conflict. We know you're aware of all these situations. And yet sometimes, because of the way it is playing out, there's a level of doubt. Yes, Lord, we're being honest. There's a level of doubt we experience. You are the God of the universe, and yet there is some doubt. You are the God that can do all things, and yes, there is some doubt. You are the God that can change situations, and you have even done things for us. But Lord, there is some doubt. And if this was a passing doubt, Lord, we would move past it. But Lord, sometimes this is a doubt that is tormenting the mind. Lord, this is a doubt that sometimes leaves us tired. Lord, this is a doubt that sometimes has us crying. Lord, this is a doubt that sometimes leaves us a level of anxiety, raises our blood pressure. Whatever it is, Lord, there's a level of doubt that we are experiencing. Just like this man, we cry out, Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. Help the areas where we are not trusting you, the God of the universe, the one that rose from the dead, the one with all power, and yet we are not believing you on this situation. Lord, we are honest. And Father, right now, just like this man, just like Peter, we cry out with our doubts still intact sometimes, or maybe we believe whatever it is, we reach out for you. Father, help us, Lord. Lord, help us in this situation. Lord, help us in this situation. Lord, help us in this situation. Lord, someone may not be crying out help, but in turn they're saying, help, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I'm done praying. Help me, Lord. I don't know what else to say. Help me, Lord. I don't know what else to do, but help me, Lord. Someone is crying out help right now. Someone is crying out help right now, Lord. Someone deep in their soul, within their mind, I can feel it deep inside of me saying, oh yes, Metro, that is me. Help me, Lord. Don't forget me. Just because they're not bold enough to say it, their silent cry is reaching you, Lord, and they're saying, help me in this situation. Lord, I feel my faith waiting. I'm drowning, Lord. Help me in this situation. If you don't help me, Lord, I won't get out of this situation. If you don't help me, I've tried other people. I've tried other things, and no one can help. It's not because I didn't just go to you. I've tried other things. No one can help me. I need you, Lord. Father, I pray you reach out your hand. I pray you help them right now. And even greater yet, let them know that your spirit lives inside of them and that you have never left them nor forsaken them and that you are in that situation. And then when the time comes right, you are going to deliver them in this situation. When the time is right, as long as they keep their eyes on you, you're going to fix this situation. But until then, even in weakness, let them know you are strong. Give them peace that goes beyond understanding. Let them know, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you are in the fire in this situation, that you have not left them. Be the comforter that you are. Allow them to know that they can face any situation as long as you are holding their hand. Hallelujah. Be with us as we go, because as we go, we want to walk with a level of faith. But even as we walk back to our seats, there may be doubt. The enemy may say, no, it's not going to work. But we say overrule on the plan of this enemy. We say overrule on his plans. We come against him in the name of Jesus. We rebuke him right now in the name of Jesus. We say overrule on his plan. not in our name, but in Jesus' name, we say overrule on that situation. No devil, you can't have my child. No devil, you can't have my peace. No devil, you can't have my husband. No devil, you can't have my wife. No devil, you can't have this job. We say overrule on his plan, and we claim victory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Go back in faith in Jesus' name.